Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure and honor being here. I'm sorry about these technical problems, but I'm not studying economics, so I'm going to talk about philosophy. I'm going to talk about the dynamic structure of human axiom. And the overview is, I would like to start for a real problem on how to use Mises' theory of human axiom. And there are 5 points. The first, Mises' axiom of axiom, the structure of end and means, individual axiom within its socio-cultural framework, 5, the purpose as creativity, and the last one, the morality of the market. Starting point is our real economic problem, because the current crisis with its constant corporate and financial scandals is having a very dangerous effect. It's calling into question the role of the market economy and the importance of the firm as a social institution. Sumantra Ghosal, he wrote a very famous article in 2005, whose title was "Bad Theories Are Ruining Good Practices." It's very telling, the title, because he was really addressing the problem with using the neoclassical model. I would like, because he echoes Herbert Simon when he said, and I quote, "Nothing is more fundamental in setting our research agenda and informing our research methods than our view of the nature of human beings whose behaviors we are studying. It makes a difference to research, but it also makes a difference for the proper design of institutions." And here is important to use Mises' theory of human axiom, because he and Hayek, we were worried about different problems. He was in the debate of the economic calculus in a socialist country. But nowadays, what is at stake is our institution, the capitalist countries. So I would like to reread or to reinterpret Mises' theory of human action through Aristotle's theory of human action. And why? Because it's a very important reason. Now there are philosophers, above all, from virtue ethics, that are challenging all utilitarianism, mainstream economics, because Aristotelian ethical approach centers on the acting person. He's said that this is a first-person ethical point of view. So his ethics is structured in a system of goods, norms, and virtues. I would say not only goods, not only norms, not only virtues, a holistic view that is configured by means of individual action in the institutions of a particular culture. So the basic idea to develop is that the person is a son politikon. It's the coexistence and common participation in determining values and beliefs where the means and ends which constitute individual action are configured. But I would like to use Edmund Husserl's philosophy, because the German background Mises had, and he said, "Humanity in general is, by essence, be men or women, humanity is by societies and sociability linked. So it's entirely suitable to redefine human being as the Husserl mid-sign, being with." And the Husserl's term, Lebenswelt, the world of life, in which institutions and culture conform the world, our world. So that is the general framework. How I am trying, in some suggestion, how to go forward in the theory of human action. Central part is individual action, the acting person with the prerequisites of action. That is individual action. We are using methodological individualism of subjectivism. But it's action within society, within culture. What is the most important institution? The firm. What is the norms? Since culture, and how is the dynamism in which our individual action is taking place. So I will start with the middle part of figure one, because it represents the mission action of action from the 3 prerequisites that inform an act. And I'm following Mises, sorry. There are 3 points. The first one, an act is initiated as something wanted or desired. Obviously, that is desires. Satisfaction, utility. But second, is knowledge on how to change the situation. And third, The third is there must be a free will. So here we're encountering the material object of ethics, voluntary and free acts. And from Aristotle, he defined a voluntary and free act with the same three points. The first one, in first place, he must have knowledge. Knowledge. Second, he must choose the acts and choose them for their own sake, because they are good. And third, his action must proceed from a firm and unchangeable character. So, for Aristotle, we're not talking about theoretical problems. We're talking about practical knowledge or practical reasons. And he said that the end aim is not knowledge, but action. So that is the reason that the common ground for all social science is the theory of human action. And that is important because the neoclassical economists that leave the choice of ends of the analysis and focus on deliberation of means will soon be clear that the choice of ends is a key element of human action and economies. For Mises, that was not necessary to talk about ends, because I was talking the necessity of the price of the system of prices, whatever the end was. We were talking about price system or not, cost plan or market. But we are now talking about institutions. And in human action, we must talk about ends. Because the most important thing that each individual adjusts his or her present reality to his or her future reality. An adjustment made through ideas, purposes, intentionality, pursuing projects, ends, always with a view to an end. The philosopher Nancy Sherman, his work in Henry Richardson and Martha Nussbaum, he says, and I really like to this quote, for Aristotle, rationality, practical rationality, requires that agents think of themselves as connected with the future, as persisting over time, and as making decisions with motivate. The fact that future plans constrain the present is the future who is acting in the present. It's not the past who is acting and repeating the present. And force is to come into line with long-term projects. Best indicates the force of his temporal sense of coherence. So, normally, Austrian school of economics is accused that this methodological individualism is very egoistic, an utilitarian approach to humans, and it cannot account for society, culture, and ethics, that capitalism is essentially greed. It's greedy, so we must remove all our friends. But I think that this accusation is absolutely false. Because if we're talking about individual, obviously, society does not exist. There are only people. But action with other individuals is social action, and action with meaning is cultural action. So, following Mises, he has the following paragraph in Theory and History. The fundamental thing about culture is the assimilation of ideas that roots mankind from the inner routine of a merely animal existence to a life of reasoning and speculating. It's the individual's effort, it's always individual effort, it's not social effort, it's always individual effort to humanize himself by partaking in the tradition of all the best things earlier generations have cheated. So, I would like to introduce a very famous United States philosopher, this is working in business ethics, Ed Friedman, the creator of stakeholder theories, just trying to post the shareholder approach. He introduced his principle of continuous creation. Business, as an institution, is a source of the creation of value. To compare it with the Schumpeterian creative destruction idea, I know that is very famous, Joseph Alois Schumpeter. And he spoke of creative destruction, implying with this concept that every economic innovation was abandonment of economic equilibrium. But, in my opinion, creative innovation cannot be a reduction, but rather an enlargement of the satisfaction of needs, an enlargement in the possibilities of action. And following Edward Friedman, he says, the beauty of modern corporate form is that it can be made to be continuous rather than destructive. One creation does not have to destroy another. Rather, there is a continuous cycle of value creation that raises the well-being of everyone. So that means that, that action, individual action, is something active and creative. And here I want to use pure entrepreneurship. But pure entrepreneurship is not a role, a person, that's a human faculty or capacity. And in my view, pure entrepreneurship is the deployment of the person's creativity capacity in the reality around him. I had the opportunity to discuss this with Professor Kirchner. He didn't agree. But at least he accepted that I have a point. And it's possible to use his own greetings. And for instance, to try to back my view of entrepreneurship, I'm going to quote Kirchner. Our world is a grossly inefficient world. What is inefficient about the world is surely that at each instant, enormous scope exists for improvements that are in one way or another ready to hand and yet are simply not noticed. So, entrepreneurship as a human faculty is not objective and scientific knowledge that might be hired in the market. It's defining economic behavior in a world without perfect knowledge. It's the perception of a possibility. There is no comparison of known alternatives. There is not given ends because they do not exist. They are in the future imagined by the entrepreneur. As Kirchner says, the incentive is to try to get something for nothing, if only one can see what this can be done. But I really prefer, Peter Drucker says, the best way to predict the future is to create it. So in this approach, I am expanding Robbins, the famous canonical definition of economics. The science which studies human behavior is a relationship between ends and scarce means, which have alternative uses. No, let's go towards Mises' definition. Economics is not about things and tangible material objects. It's about men, their meanings and actions, goods, commodities, and wealth, and other notions of conduct are not elements of nature. They are elements of human meaning. They are cultural and conduct. He who wants to deal with them must not look at the external world. He must search for them in the meaning of active men. So I am coming here for a more ethical point of view. Because any action had two points. One is the external effects, in Greek, poiesis, in Latin, facere, in English, making. And there another point of view, the internal one. How we are building our character, our praxis, agere, or doing. In the first approach, the telecam virtum, that following St. Thomas Aquinas, the habitus operativus bonus, is the fulfillment of excellence in intelligence respect to poiesis, facere, doing, or making, sorry, through individual action, that we are supporting social institutions, producing shoes, houses, whatever, goods in general. But in the second place, economics does not reduce only the productive act. It comprises also the election of ends and means of production in a to economy action dynamism. So, we are entering the realm of judgment. Professor Peter Klein and Professor Nicolas Foss were talking about action and judgment. But in the Aristotelian terms, we're talking about prudence, phronesis, which is the fulfillment or excellence respect to praxis, agere, doing. So, the choice of action. So we are not just doing shoes or houses. We are doing good shoes or houses. Just to finish, this approach has consequences. As the philosopher Robert Solomon points out, it views business as a human institution in service of human and not as a marvelous machine or the black box. Entrepreneur, what is that? Or in terms of the mysterious magic of the market. Because people render social life more human, both in the family and the civic community through improvement of customs and institutions. And summing up, in praxeology, things occupy a central position as basic institution in society. And what is the market economy based in things has a very positive moral content, the possibility of excellence in human action. Arete, virtu. So things based on people acting together, sharing the culture of the organization, create and distribute most of the economic wealth, innovate, trade, and raise living standards. Thank you for your attention.